Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. Whether you're in Southern California or somewhere else all over the world, we do have an international family here who like to come and listen to us. Tonight is a really exciting night. We actually are on location in middle of Riverside, California.
I know.
And we have a special guest chef in the house, Dr. Ted Payne Begon Pena.
I love it.
Okay, that's good. And we're actually sitting in his office. We have a couple people in the audience, and we're actually going to be talking about some wonderful things tonight. We're going to be talking about aligning with wellness, and something that's very near and dear to Ted's heart is the seven pillars of optimal health. So, hey, Ted.
Hey, Robin.
How's it going?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, well, he's done some radio, so this guy, we're probably going to have a fabulous show just because we know how to handle this microphone.
It's going
to
be fabulous because you're running the microphone. No, thank you, Robin. It's great. And thank you for inviting me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You know, Ted and I have been knowing each other for quite some time. We actually have known each other through our businesses. I remember mine is Flowers for You in Riverside, California.
Right.
And we have the name of your office here with the chiropractor.
Dr. Pena's Chiropractic Office.
There you go.
It's simple.
It's complicated. I know. It's very, very complicated. And as this year is really wonderful because he's totally a congratulational thing going on here. 25 years.
Yes.
As a chiropractor.
25 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gone by mighty
very
quick.
Fast. It's kind of like having a kid, huh?
Well, the funny thing is that I had my first child right before we opened our office.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I can just remember how old my daughter is by how many years I've been in business and vice versa.
That's kind of convenient.
It really is.
I think
is.
That is convenient.
Yeah.
It's like when I moved six months before I moved, actually before I had my second child, we moved into our house. So I know exactly how long I've lived there. Yeah, exactly. And, of course, she's like, I've always let her, Mom, what do you mean? We're not moving somewhere else. This is my house. So this is really good.
Right.
So let's just dive right into it. So
sure.
We're going to talk about the seven pillars of optimal health.
Yes.
Now, how did you learn about that and, you know, kind of some of the background with that?
Well, it just came to me, if you will, over those 25 years plus.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed during that time patients and clients at the time I was doing personal training while going through chiropractic school. And I noticed some of my clients, even back then, some were vibrantly healthy. They knew what to do when they were sick, and they really lived whole lives. And over time, you start to see certain characteristics that they all had in common.
Mm-hmm.
And so I keep track of what, at that time, I'd call it the secrets of my healthiest patients.
Well, yeah, ooh,
yeah,
it's
ooh,
a secret.
Secret.
Yeah, exactly. We get so excited about that. It's a secret.
Exactly. But then really, it really hit me right between the eyes in 2005. National Geographic had this wonderful cover on their magazine of this man who was 100 years old standing on his head and in perfect, amazing shape. So I had to buy it. And it was a study about the healthiest people, long-lived people on the face of this earth, on the face of this planet. And just was amazing that they showed these three communities that people were living well into their 90s and 100s. And I truly mean living. They weren't like being kept alive on a respirator or medication or drugs. They were working. They were driving. They were fishing. They were enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
And that really intrigued me. So that was the beginning of the seven pillars of really putting it together and sharing it with others. So those three communities are Sardinia, Italy.
Okay.
Okinawa, Japan.
Okay.
and then right here in the Inland Empire.
Loma Linda.
Loma Linda.
I know. Isn't that neat?
That is amazing.
Yeah. You can go over the market and like act like you're really older than you think you are. People think you're like, wow, you must be 85, and you're like maybe pushing 40.
It
looks so good. I know. Loma Linda.
And that just really blew me away because I'm thinking, Sardinia, Italy, or Okinawa, Japan. But I just wasn't thinking, okay, Inland Empire, all right? So there's something going on. It's not the location, but something about their culture, about something that they do that would allow them to routinely outlive other Americans by 10, 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And good quality life.
And a great quality life.
Great quality, yeah.
And so that video I shared with many others. And then I really broke down that report. And that was actually an overview of another book called The Blue Zone. And that was just sheer numbers and research where the researchers went across that gathered information from around the world and where people were living into their 90s and 100s that had put little blue pins on a map.
Mm-hmm.
And why they use blue pins, I don't know. But
mm-hmm.
everywhere where they saw a concentration of blue pins, they called it a blue zone.
Okay.
And those three areas were the leading areas where they were living healthy lives.
Okay.
So it's all in the seven pillars. So you want to just
let's get into it.
Okay.
Although I kind of want to talk a little bit about you're very much a God, loving man, and with your whole stuff with your biblical stories and everything you have going on there. I don't know why, but I wanted to kind of talk about a little bit about,
sure.
People living in, wasn't uncommon for, people to live 200 or 300 years
right.
in the Bible times. So what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's awesome. And that.
I thought there might be a different answer than that, for me, I was thinking, maybe it really kind of goes back to that whole, the biblical diet. With like fresh fruit and seed givings and all that kinds of stuff. And so, it was kind of going into the pulse,
the whole pulse thing
when it comes to that level of, small little, meals all along the day that really fed you on every level. Yes.
Throughout the day. And
yeah.
The food.
Twinkies were not a part of this diet.
Twinkies.
Yeah, no idea what that even was.
The original
not
part of
that diet. Yeah, but so who's to say if we can go back to that on a level of
Some research that proves you can take human tissue and make it live indefinitely,
right.
Providing it the proper media, the proper nutrition, and it just goes to show how dirty the air we breathe is, the environment, the water we drink. So we're not able to allow our bodies the proper nutrition that it needs.
Yeah.
But I think definitely.
They're probably not stressing out the cells either when it comes to levels like being able to live forever.
Stress comes on different levels, as you know.
You have to teach those cells how to meditate and things like that.
The cells need to relax.
They
need to meditate.
We need to meditate
on a cellular level.
Microcellular level.
Something to say about that.
So what is the first pillar?
First pillar
mm-hmm.
is time.
Okay.
And let me kind of break that down. Time can be your best friend or worst enemy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if you live a life of years and years and years of abusing your body and smoking and fast food and drinking sodas, time's not going to be your friend, and the body will take a toll. On the flip side of that, once you stop introducing all of those bad foods into your body and start providing it the proper nutrition, well, then guess what?
Mm-hmm.
The body can turn around because your body is a self-healing, self-regulating system. And when it's given the opportunity, then it's going to be able to thrive, truly thrive on living. You'll have new skin every, 30 days. Mm-hmm.
They say that your whole body reproduces itself at least once a year?
Oh, yeah.
Something like that?
Some
everything
cells
is
faster
totally
than
new.
Others.
Yeah, so it's just that matter of what kind of habits are you having where the cells would be able to be in a healthier way with themselves instead of just kind of sustaining when you're not doing a proper diet.
You become what you eat.
Right. We were talking about that before the show about I've heard it's up to 90% of your health and wellness is basically, 90% is your food and what you choose to be able to
most
be sustaining
definitely.
Yourself.
Yeah, sadly, we're killing ourselves with a fork and what we, you know, put in our mouths. There's a great documentary, Forks Over Knives.
Right.
And if you haven't seen it,
never want to eat meat again.
You'll never want to eat meat again. And, you know, there's something to say about meat, and then there's a time and place for that.
Exactly.
However, we kind of have things flipped around in our culture
yeah.
where the meat, the steak is the meal.
Right.
And we'll garnish it with some parsley.
Right.
There's your salad.
Right.
And what happens to that? They just push it aside.
Let me say, like, I think it's just for real good proper nutrition,
mm-hmm.
is like the size of your palm
yes.
should basically be, well, to me, that would be all the protein you need all day. It'd be like about that much.
That
everything
is,
else should be fruits and vegetables and
correct.
Nuts and grains and all
100%.
That kind of stuff.
100%. And you could still get all of your protein from a plant-based diet,
mm-hmm.
but it takes work and it
mm-hmm.
takes education and it takes desire
right.
and it takes time.
Right.
And that's where, you know, I want everyone to know that even if you have been treating your body really bad, there's been studies that are well-known and really good information for you to use, is that if you spend your whole life messing up your body, don't give up hope, because it's been shown that once you start providing your body with the proper nutrition, your cells will come back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And you can heal a lot of conditions that they thought you couldn't heal with food. For example, diabetes,
right.
heart disease, some cancers. I mean, I lost my grandmother to breast cancer, so I get a little bit motivated.
Yeah. I lost my mom to colon cancer.
Yeah, we talked about that. And I saw that on your list or one of the questions you sent to me
mm-hmm.
was what keeps me excited.
Yeah, after 25 years.
25 years. And I think that has a lot to do with it. I was there when my grandma died,
mm-hmm.
and I still remember everyone, her suffering and all of the family crying, and I was about 12 years old,
mm-hmm.
and just it was horrible. It
mm-hmm.
was a horrible death. But, you know, she was a smoker,
mm-hmm.
and she, you know, did things that weren't healthy for her body.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wonder if she wasn't a smoker, would she have lived longer? Would she would have had a better quality of life? I'd have to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really gets me motivated two things. One is to help other people not suffer like our family did
mm-hmm.
when she was sick and died. But the other thing is how exciting it is to see when a patient comes back to life.
Mm-hmm.
That's priceless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to get a patient out of pain. It's another thing to see them thrive.
Right.
And at that point, I have to back off
mm-hmm.
and just let them run with it. And
see, that means it's just a pain be gone. It's like, you know, thriving and getting on or something.
That's
and
right.
I don't know, you know, making a new thing out of that.
I think that needs to stay.
Yeah.
Dr. Pain be gone.
Yeah.
Because that's true. That's why people come and see me, to get
mm-hmm.
rid of pain. And that's cool. I love getting
mm-hmm.
rid of pain.
Mm-hmm.
But then they stay because they understand that wellness will help prevent.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a sign, too, that said, "Crawlin's welcome"?
Yeah.
I think you did, yeah.
That was, like, the best sign ever.
We should not be laughing at that. I'm like, oh, my God.
No,
that's, like, so terrible.
People crawling
in all the time, right?
Well, sadly, they do, but it's nice to see them go from crawling to walking to running
and thriving.
And if you have back pain and you've been crawling, I mean, you
oh
like
yeah
people.
Oh my gosh, I mean, yeah, it's such a gift. Yeah, it's such a gift.
But yes, that was me. Yeah,
okay, great.
So
okay.
Anyways,
number
that was
two.
Pillar number one.
Okay.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pillar number two is the pillar of movement.
Okay.
Daily physical exercise / daily movement.
Okay.
And I say the word movement because when I say exercise, a lot of people take that as a four-letter word, you know. Yeah, and so I start with
do what
movement.
You like to move, right?
You
whether you're dancing or walking or whatever,
right.
Whatever's fun.
See, some people, it depends on their vocation.
Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily have to go to LA Fitness because, let's say, if they garden,
right?
They're going to get
gardening is
exercise.
Got a lot of yeah. You
yeah.
really have a workout when you garden.
We were, you know, and. A culture that, over 150 years ago, that we agriculture
right.
was the majority of what people did.
We need to move
okay,
back
fast
to that.
Forward to, well, we need to be active.
Yeah.
Fast forward 150 years, the majority of people are sedentary.
Right.
They're sitting.
Right.
And even getting worse now with all these smartphones. And that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's probably one of the other pillars.
If you have a a lifestyle where you're active and you're moving all day, super. If you like gardening, great. Get out in the garden. And if you like to walk, then make it part of your daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to be moving. One of the yardsticks that doctors will use to determine how long someone will live once they get up in years is how much they're able to move.
Mm-hmm.
Another example is, and this is a test, if they can actually get off of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not able to get off of the ground, then the likelihood of you dying within 2 years is really high.
Okay.
So every little bit you can do, something's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't exercised, if you haven't moved, well, get moving. Get
yeah.
started. Do
yeah.
something.
Exactly.
And then build upon that.
Yeah.
So, of course, and that's another thing, too. You know, too much of a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big push nowadays for extreme exercise.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. The PS and all that other stuff that's going on nowadays.
And it's not just because someone may have toned muscles and have 0% fat doesn't necessarily mean that they're healthy.
Right.
And
you know, like die of heart attacks all the time. You hear about people that work the time.
Mm-hmm. And so there needs to be, you know, moderation in that. We don't want to overwork ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Just got to find that healthy balance of doing enough and breaking a sweat, which on a day like today is pretty easy.
Yeah, it was very hot in Riverside.
Yeah.
We were hotter than Las Vegas. So like, something's wrong.
Something's
really,
wrong.
Really wrong. Yeah.
But getting moving is huge. That's why it's pillar number two.
Pillar number two.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can remember when I first started getting into yoga, I had the issue that I was watching. It was a 90-year-old lady that mm-hmm. was doing a cobra. And I thought, you know, that's
wow.
for me. Yeah, if I
that's
and they
impressive.
Said that, yeah, they could tell. They said, you know, by the age of her, so they basically had her, I think, at about 35 because of the way her flexibility of her back, and she was 90. So that was really, really awesome.
That's huge. That's
yeah,
awesome.
That's very, very awesome. Okay, pillar number three.
Pillar number three, and this is the one that I think people like to talk about the most.
Sex. No? Okay.
Well,
sex is important.
That would be pillar number two.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's go to pillar number three. That's
okay.
Healthy food.
Healthy food. Okay.
Healthy food. And specifically eating whole food, like we were talking about earlier.
Right. I was here like an hour early, and boy, time just flew because we were talking about juicing and
why
all the different kinds.
And play that.
I know.
Have, like, three shows.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, we can do another one. It's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Healthy food. Some of the best advice that I ever received was in college from Mr. Douthat. He was our instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, beware food that man makes for a profit.
Oh, that's
that
a good one.
Stuck with me
wow, you should have that on the wall somewhere.
Beware, I should.
Yeah.
Beware food man has made for a profit. And the reason why is in order for food to stay on the shelf for a long time,
yeah.
So it can sell, you have to strip it of all of its nutrition.
Right.
That's why a Twinkie
yeah.
can taste the same after being, well, packaged for a year or however long.
Longer than that.
Or longer.
Yeah, they put them in time capsules, okay, and I think they're still okay.
And they're still on.
Yep,
it's
like,
so
how long has this been in here?
Yeah.
Oh, like 50 years. I think it's good.
Have you ever found a fresh fry from,
yes.
you know?
Yes. I have a dear friend of mine who sells Juice Plus, and she's got,
okay.
yeah, and she's got a different, I won't say names here, but at least three or four different drive-through restaurants that they basically have mummified foods. Yeah, and they really don't look that different.
They
look like they've kind of gotten cold, and you know
yeah.
you're gonna go and still eat them. And it's like, no, that thing's 5 years old. You know, I don't think you even want to like.
Yeah,
yeah, no.
And
they don't mold.
If the food does
there's
rot,
no mold on that food. If the food won't mold, then you know there's something wrong with it. Okay, because there's nothing alive that's gonna make it, you know, do any kind
and
of value.
That I recommend is to have healthy food available that is already prepared,
right?
Like an apple,
right?
I mean, talk about fast food.
Yeah,
here it is.
It's great.
Go start. You know,
I've heard that you know if you actually eat an apple, you chew it and do it. It's like there's over 350 different chemical reactions that happen for your body, and it's better. It's got its natural
that we know of.
It has natural caffeine, so it's way better for you in the morning to eat an apple than to have a cup of coffee.
That I have never heard of.
Yeah, it has natural caffeine.
What if you have apples with your coffee.
And you're like buzzing all over the place. Well, the thing about it is that coffee's going to crash, right? With apples, you won't crash.
Well,
so if you have an apple with coffee, maybe it really don't crash.
They balance each other out.
Yes.
Or a banana, or food that is available to you, and you don't have to be led to the drive-thru. You don't have to rely upon packaged food. You really want to stick with food that is all ready to go.
I've heard of it. I know of a trainer that says you should never eat food out of a window.
I think those are words to live by.
Those are words to live by, yeah.
No doubt.
Unless you're at home, your mom made you something, she's like, you know, she's like,
window,
hey, here's your...
in the window.
She's tossing, you're in the backyard, she's tossing it out the door.
There's your food.
Yeah,
the window.
Like, there you go, through the window. Okay, pillar four.
Pillar number four, and it can be multiple pillars, but just keeping it simple. Pillar number four is your mental health, spiritual health, and social health. And I have them all together because I found that it's difficult to separate them, that they can be done together.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, you can have a spiritual experience alone, like
mm-hmm.
we're talking about being
mm-hmm.
out at Zion,
mm-hmm.
and what a great place to just be, you know, one
yeah,
with the creator.
Yeah, communing with creator.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which I think you should do every day, but that's part of my stuff.
But how awesome it is to be able to share your spirituality with other people that you love and care about
mm-hmm.
and worship together.
Right.
And like we were saying earlier, yeah, that's a huge part of my life
mm-hmm.
that has allowed me to have hope in this world and for the world to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I found that also helps with my mental well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have that hope, when you have those promises and you have that knowing and you have that relationship, you find yourself at a much better place. You still suffer and you still go through challenges, but you do it differently.
Yeah. With a can-do attitude.
With an absolute can-do attitude
mm-hmm.
that you may not know the answer to a certain problem, but you know the one that does.
Right.
And that's like, okay.
If I don't got this, he's got this.
That's right.
Yeah. So sooner or later, somebody's got it, so we're going to do it.
Thank you.
Okay.
100%. And, you know, as far as studies are concerned, this has been well-researched.
Well, Loma Linda is definitely a part of this whole thing.
That is part of it.
Yeah,
there's
Loma Linda
no
is definitely that. Because
that.
They're very much of a, with their faith and their
yes.
they're very much, you know, yeah, their whole.
It's a well-known fact
yeah.
that all cultures that practice and their spiritual
their faith.
Life, their
mm-hmm.
faith,
mm-hmm.
that they will, they outlive those that don't.
Right.
Period. Now, is that the main reason why we should all run to, you
yeah.
know, go
atheists,
to religion?
Atheists just don't got anything on that.
That, you know yeah. what, there's no research
that
to support that.
That would be something that would be interesting.
That would
at.
Be interesting.
I bet there's something out there, but it's probably not,
if there
not,
is,
not
I,
being mainstream.
I don't know about it, and
yeah,
I would, you know
mainstream.
What, I'm certain that pillar number four is essential. I mean, that's just not my opinion, That is part of that National Geographic story, as well as the Blue Zone research. That
it's people, true blue. That's why they picked blue.
It's
true blue.
Blue.
Yeah.
Oh. And you know about colors.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's another show.
All right.
Okay, pillar five.
Pillar five, sleep and rest.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if God rests one day, I can do that too.
Mm-hmm.
We live so fast, and we live so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And these computers and every technology.
You're supposed to make it easier for us.
You're supposed to make it easier.
It's made it faster and more. Yeah, yeah.
It's done the complete
opposite. Yeah.
And sadly, people are dying because of it.
Yeah.
And people are breaking down. They're stressing out. There's more disease now that is based off stress than ever before. And it's just getting worse.
Yeah, I was watching a documentary the other day about how people are, I know, they need to have new rules about how they use their cell phones.
Right.
And, you know, we're both in our 50s, so I really look at that.
Wait a minute.
Well.
I've got 3 more weeks.
Okay.
3 more
we're
weeks.
All, we're all hanging around. We're all hanging around in that kind of a decade. Anyway, So, but it was, no, it's fine. So it was just, I thought it was just really, it was, I was looked at that and I go, well, I know what it's like to live without a cell phone. I mean, to me, it was just like, you know, it's the choice of how do I use it as a tool instead of having it being something that I'm connected at the hip. I've had 30-year-olds when I've gone and done presentations for different stuff. And I go, can you guys imagine a day, you know, without a cell phone? They looked at me like, are you kidding?
Your cell phone?
I can't even survive. What are you talking about? I can't even go, like, you know, like, to lunch. What are you talking about?
You remember when you wanted to go to your friend's house, you got on your bike.
Yes.
And then you rode your bike across town. It might take you an hour or so. Mm-hmm. You get there, knock on the door. Is John here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, he's out with his dad. No, okay.
Yeah.
Jump on your bike.
You go all the way back. You're like, that is not happening. Like, I'm going to call to make sure they're there.
Yeah, or like a cell phone now was basically, or then was having a very long extension cord on your phone
mm-hmm.
that you could make it to, you know, the closet or however far you can get away for your privacy on the phone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's technology is advancing way faster than our culture is.
Yeah.
So it's becoming the culture.
Yeah. Well, and it's really like I have to make choices about knowing that it's a tool. It's not necessarily something that I can turn that off or put that down and I get.
But we're not. We're not turning it off.
Well,
let's talk about sleep because that is pillar number five.
Yeah.
More and more.
People sleep
with
their
phone.
Right there. The electromagnetics that are going on and everything else is just not.
When that little phone will flash or it will vibrate, we had a name for that when we were growing up. You know what that was? It was called an alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we be sleeping with something that's going to flash or buzz? And even if it doesn't wake you all the way up, it will certainly take you from a deep sleep into, almost twilight to the point where you're almost awake, but not quite. So you go through the whole night with those little lights flashing and the little buzzers going off, and you may be in bed for 8 hours, but you never really slept.
Yeah.
You need to
That's
when healing happens.
Right.
100% right. You need to shut those phones off when you go to bed. Turn it off completely.
Mm-hmm.
Turn off the light. Turn off the buzzer. Just turn off the
phone.
You don't need to be reading email at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, nothing's that important.
No, it's not. And rest during the day.
Mm-hmm.
We need to know to slow down. There's something to having siestas.
I know.
That's okay.
I think it would be awesome. Always yeah. like, yeah, like let's just close down the store for an hour and a half, I'm going to go have a siesta.
I get grief sometimes for having a 3-hour lunch break, but it's like, I'm not going to apologize.
So what do you do with your, you know?
A lot of times I'll go to my mom's house. She lives here in town. And I'll have my siesta.
You'll like lay down and like
yeah, I'll go hang out.
Well, you have such a physical job. I mean, you know, that's something too that I was going to ask you about.
Yes.
You know, for 25 years you've been, you know, helping to address other people.
Yes.
So that, you know, you definitely have to be taking care of self-care for you so other people can get the care they need.
I love what I do. And
mm-hmm.
there was a time where I was really pushing myself and adjusting, you know, 5-6 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I blew out my shoulder and it took me out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God was telling me, oh, so you don't want to slow down? No problem. I will slow you down.
Yeah.
And I was not able to practice for one entire year. I had to hire another doctor and everything. It all worked out, and it healed, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
But I learned that I need to space things out. So just like you work out a muscle group every other day, that's what I do. I allow myself to rest on the days between, you know, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so Tuesday, Thursday, I'll rest. But back to what I do on my lunch breaks, sure, I'll try to do paperwork or I'll go visit some new clientele, but most of the time I'll go to my mom's house and
mm-hmm.
just hang out with mom and dad. They're in their 80s,
mm-hmm.
and it's just so awesome that they live nearby. I get to go hang out with them,
mm-hmm.
and my mom makes some pretty good bean and cheese burritos.
Well, there you go.
Front,
and she put it through the window so you know it's okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. No, not every time, but some of the time. It's just, well, anyway, that's part of my rest, though.
That's awesome.
And so I come back in the afternoon, refreshed, ready to go.
See, and that's just so wonderful, too, because it comes from that level of, you know, I walk my talk. I'm a model for what I want other people to be doing when it comes to levels of rest. It's not a matter of, like, you should be doing this or you should be doing that. It's a matter of you live it.
I have to. Now, am I perfect at it? No way.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I'll go get my adjustments once a week.
Yeah.
I'll get up in the morning and I'll have my fruit and I'll have real eggs, and I do eat the yolk,
mm-hmm.
and do my very best to you know, walk my talk,
mm-hmm.
And these pillars.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice when I'm well, a pill or short, that, you know, I feel off. Mm-hmm. And then things just don't jive.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, anyways, the number four, oh, no, we're at five, aren't we? Sleep and rest.
Mm-hmm. We talked about that.
Yes.
Okay. Number six.
Number six. Number six, this pillar is the pillar of natural health care as the foundation of maintaining good health. We need to have what we were talking about earlier, great medical doctors, great nurses, but we need great chiropractors, we need great naturopaths, we need great acupuncturists,
massage
therapists, and we need to all work together. I really find it important that we don't just let the pendulum swing one way or the other, that we need great medical doctors to help us in those emergencies, to help us when we're really sick, like we talked about, like a ruptured appendix. I mean, that happened to me when I was 14 years old, and it was that doctor that actually not only saved my life, but I saw him in a way that that's what I want to do. I want to help people. I want to help people. I want to save lives, too, and ultimately leading to being a chiropractor, saving lives in a different way. We need to seek those people out because, like every profession, there's good and bad, and we really have to be good at finding those that are passionate about what they do. And, you know, it makes me excited to know that, like, just today, my daughter, Heidi, she just started her first day as a registered nurse.
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to know is my daughter, Heidi, was raised on natural health care.
Mm-hmm.
So here she understands the benefits of getting adjusted, not just because you have back pain, but because you need to let your body's nerve energy flow. She understands the importance of eating healthy. She understands the importance of movement. She gets this. So when she's out at the hospital, she's able to teach that to her patients because nine times out of ten, her patients are there because they're not living the seven pillars. They let something slip.
Mm-hmm.
And so she could teach it to each and every one of them.
That's awesome.
It is awesome.
That's awesome. They're like, how come my doctor isn't telling me this? You know?
Right.
And you can go back to that whole kind of thing and it's like, well, you know, these are things that I know, and my dad's a chiropractor. So, you know, there's ways to wellness.
You bet. There are many
ways to wellness.
Mm-hmm. And these are all things that we can do on our own.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. We were talking about that, too. Just like when it comes to levels of any kind of wellness, it's taking personal responsibility for our own wellness.
Well, we're getting to that.
For our own health care. Yeah.
So
was that the good segue?
That was an awesome segue. Can we talk about pillar number seven?
Yeah, let's talk about number seven. What is that?
Choice.
Okay.
That's definitely taking ownership of your own body and your own health. And choosing to reach, strive for optimal health. And I'll tell you this: when I have patients come in that want to get healthy and they want me to do the work, it makes for a difficult relationship. We have to have a little sit down, if you will, and just lay out how it's gonna be. Because I'm there and I know chiropractic adjustments can help someone feel better, but if we don't take care of why they got there in the first place, then I'm just another pill.
Right, right.
They need to take ownership of their body. And it needs to be like this. It can't be, oh, I got to work out. Oh, I got to go eat healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
When you're coming from that place and it's a chore, that's not a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's work, and that's going to fail.
Right.
It needs to come from, no, I'm doing this because, yes, it's maybe having a cheeseburger might taste better, but I'm going to have, you know, this other food because it's healthy, it's going to nourish me, and I'm going to feel better because of it.
Yeah, give it a chance to see what it really can do for me as opposed to just being in those old habits and not really giving yourself, you know, think I'm changing the way that I do something and I'm allowing myself to just see how I'm going to be responding.
30 days.
Not even that. I think a week. If you gave yourself a week and you were really eating well, you would just say, wow, I'm going to do this instead.
I have a patient that was in his late 40s. He had a massive heart attack. And this is after knowing that he had high blood pressure. And he wasn't obese. He needed to lose a few pounds, but he wasn't obese. Well, so he followed the doctor's orders. Well, while he was at the pharmacy, she had a massive heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
And they rushed him over to the Hot Wheels over at...
not a place you want to have a major heart attack.
Well,
this guy, this guy's like, can you do it outside? We really don't want it inside the pharmacy.
Because you're at the pharmacy, was at the hospital.
Right.
So it ended up actually, if he was, he was close enough, they were able to save his life.
Yeah.
And the doctors told him, well, you really got to stick to that diet. And everything. And actually, he was doing what they said for him to do. So mm-hmm. he was pretty disappointed after the fact because,
right.
wow, I was doing exactly what he told me to do.
I'm still having a heart attack.
And I had a heart attack.
What the heck?
So 6 months later, he came across what's called the China study.
Mm-hmm. I know the China
and
study, yeah.
he decided.
You can tell people what the China study is a little bit.
The China study... was exactly that. It was a study, research that was done in China,
mm-hmm.
and they kind of like the blue zones.
Mm-hmm.
They just documented where there was cancer and diseases that people were dying from, and they noticed that in areas that were in urban communities, that's where there was a higher incidence of cancer and lifestyle diseases. Whereas other rural communities, it was almost non-existent.
Right.
However, they noticed when the people would move from the rural communities into the urban, the city areas, well, guess what?
Now all those things have increased.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Mm-hmm.
So what they found is if you live more of a physical lifestyle, like how we started the show,
mm-hmm.
with agriculture,
mm-hmm.
and that we need to get back to that, and living a lifestyle that is really complementing the body and it's physical, well, you're not going to be getting those diseases that the people in the city are getting. Well, anyways, my friend came across that study and decided to, well, I'm going to eat like the people in the healthy areas did. After 1 week, not that he was trying to lose weight, but he lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
But more importantly, he felt great.
Right.
He goes, I'm doing it. I'm sticking to it. And
that's after a week.
It was less than a week.
He
like
lost 10
weeks.
Pounds in less
yeah.
than a week
yeah.
because he just changed the way he was eating.
Yes. It
wow.
plant-based diet.
That's amazing.
And so
yeah.
he ran with it.
Yeah.
And then about 6 months later, they did all of his labs again, and his doctors could not believe the results because
mm-hmm.
he was able to get off 70% of his medication. 70%.
Mm-hmm.
He's the poster child now for all of the patients that were suffering like him.
Mm-hmm.
And it just goes to show that when you choose,
right,
you make that choice, this is, you know, damn the torpedo spirit, you can make some significant life changes.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's living, you know, healthy and free of the medication that he was once on, but it all came from a choice.
So really the big lesson here is, you know, don't wait for the bad diagnosis. It's just make those choices in your life
yeah.
now, so you're not waiting for that person to just say, well, you've got 6 months.
That
you know?
Is an awful way to find
yeah.
out.
But that isn't even with 6 months, you can totally turn that
well,
around.
In his case, he had a horrible symptom to tell him he had bad heart disease.
Right.
I mean, his symptom was a heart attack.
Right.
And 50% of people that have a heart attack will die.
Right.
So not exactly.
So he's lucky.
He was really fortunate. He was
yeah.
blessed that he had that opportunity to make a new choice.
Yeah.
And he found that on his own. That
yeah.
was not from his, you know,
well,
specialist.
His heart kind of said, hey, you know, do this or, you know, we're going to do that again.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so those are the pillars.
Okay, great.
Those are the pillars.
Okay, great. Well, we actually have a guest, well, another guest chef in the house. We've got one of...
is that what we're called, chefs?
Yeah,
I call
you... Yeah, yeah.
I could cook, you know.
That's good. Well, we could do that in another show, too.
Okay.
We could do healthy cooking. How
I
about that?
That?
I feel like I'm going to have that would work on the radio, but I think that would be awesome. I get
I
to eat it.
Ceramic.
I get to eat, so
yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Well, okay.
We'll cook
it up.
So, you know, is there anything that you'd like to share about Dr. Ted and how maybe he's...
What is your name?
Yeah, what is your name and why are you here?
My name is Jason.
Hey, Jason.
I've been coming to Dr. Pena for... My goodness.
Wow. Been a few years, my friend.
About 6 years.
Lissy was a baby.
Yeah, she's six, about 5 years or so.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, for correction, my spine is pretty messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so just maintaining and I sleep better. It's just having your spine is like a conduit with wires in it. I work in electrical
mm-hmm.
industry, so I know about
you really relate to this, yeah.
And so, and the your brain tries to communicate with all your organs through your spinal cord, and if your spinal cord is all kinked,
mm-hmm.
well, you're not going to get good communication. And so when you get regular chiropractic care, it makes a big difference, and I've noticed that. And there was a time where we had to stop coming for a while, and I noticed a big difference, so we got right back into it. And it's
how long did it take for you to really see the difference?
Oh, just a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks. Yeah.
My wife was she noticed something immediately, and I noticed something. And
were you grumpy? Was it grumpiness?
Yeah.
You started out being grumpy.
I can't grumpy.
You were grumpy, and then it was like, oh, there's like,
I don't sleep very much.
Right.
I get to bed at 3 a.m. every morning, and
yeah.
sometimes I don't get to bed until kind of late.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the quality of life. And so many of the people that I know, they only go to the chiropractor when they feel back pain.
Right. They're crawling in, like we talked about.
Because constantly throwing their back out or doing this or doing that, and their core is not strong.
Right.
And the things get out of alignment, and you just got to keep going.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just been a very great experience. And I have diabetes, and I'm trying to reverse that. And so little steps, it's sometimes hard, especially with society and how you got junk food around you.
You are a hard worker, and I know you drive a lot.
Yeah, well, and I'm sure that all those drive-thrus are just like whispering to you, saying, hey, you know, it's a quick meal, and I could just, like, get done.
12 hours, 14 hours a day, and
right.
it's like I run out of food in my lunchbox, and I'm like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, especially
mm-hmm.
nowadays. But,
but you know what's cool, and thank you for all those kind words, that
he paid you.
Comes in with his
you book. Paid him to say that, right?
No,
in great amount. No,
okay, yeah.
He his wife comes in, but he brings his children in.
I think that's awesome. Yeah,
and
a lot of people don't realize that. How old can a child be before they come in? I think you can do.
I adjusted newborns within 15 minutes of being born.
Okay, 15
especially
minutes.
Especially if
yeah.
it was a long labor and where they maybe have used forceps or whether they use. Suction. And yeah, I'm all for getting the babies out so they don't suffocate. I'm down with that. But
yeah.
I also want babies to have a free-flowing nervous system as
right,
well.
Right, right.
So, but the point I'm trying to make is his children have been able to grow up with chiropractic care just like my children have.
Yeah.
And for them, it's a child that's going through chiropractic care. That, again, the research shows that those children have fewer visits to the pediatrician, they have fewer colds, and just don't take my word for it, just follow the research.
Yeah, look at the data.
My kids are hardly ever sick.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen a doctor just a handful of times.
Mm-hmm.
We try to avoid that at all costs because they're always prescribing
right.
steroids or
right, right,
something
right. Mm-hmm.
that's just made in a pharmacy,
mm-hmm.
and it's all because of... No, they have contracts with pharmaceutical companies.
Well, and just have that residue within their bodies. It's just going to stay in there until they can de-junk
it,
yeah.
But you try to do it naturally. And
mm-hmm.
you know what? The medical field is there. So if you really need something,
right.
they're there, and the technology is there to help it. But if you can avoid it, then why put junk in your body?
Yeah. How often do your kids get adjusted?
We come here at least
so just
once
a family thing. Y'all come in and, like, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
next thing you know, everybody's done.
You know when the Royals are here. It's a party.
Well, that's cool. That's cool.
It's
especially making it a fun event. It's like, we're going to go get adjusted.
Oh,
we can go like, hey. Yeah.
I'm going to say,
Spike,
he's going to go on the table first. But they do want to. They want to jump
this
on
this is
it.
Unusual radio. People are like, what? People are fighting to get on the table?
Fighting.
What's going on? Yeah. Me, do me first.
It's
yeah.
an
okay.
awesome, it's just a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something you look forward to. And of course, there's times.
But you just make it fun.
Well,
come on. You make it fun. Yeah.
I do have fun.
Yeah.
I really
and they know that, you know, they're going to see, you know. So you're like Uncle Ted, right?
I've been called many different things.
I was called class clown the other day. You're like the class clown. That's what makes you a good person.
Yeah, I'm sure you.
Like,
I'm sure you're like, oh no, don't call me that. No, that's
no,
all
that's
right.
Great, and that's, you know, laughter is some of the best.
It's very important.
And,
yeah, absolutely.
And I know there's a time we got to buckle down. Hey, someone's in, you know, severe pain. It's like, you know, timing is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And
so where would lightening up be in your pillars? Is that part of your mental?
That's part of the mental, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about lightening up. Even before I came down here, I was walking through Stater Brothers picking up the food, and I'm looking for the paper plates, and it's a new store. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They have great produce and everything, but I don't know where the paper plates are at. So I'm pushing along and looking up. I was still walking. I wasn't like stopped. And then behind me, I hear, "Gosh, hurry up!" And then I hear his wife say, "Why are you talking to me like that?" And then he says back, "No, it's Mr. Vacation in front of us because I'm wearing
you don't know Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, Hawaiian shirt."
I didn't quite know how to take that. Like, please tell him to hurry up, or thank you for noticing that, my vocation
is a vacation.
Thank you
for noticing. Mindful about being in the, being where I am. Yeah.
And so, Mr. Vacation.
He would not have liked that response. Yeah,
well,
thanks.
So I did respond back. The best I could come up with is, "Well, I'm sorry if I was walking too slow for you to get through the store."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Oh, no, man, it's okay."